Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, and this is one of my favorite days of the entire year. It's the day we have Bruce Feldman on to talk about the Freaks List. This is an annual project by Bruce. It's, I think, labor of love is probably the best way to describe it, where he talks to all the strength coaches around the country and puts together the comprehensive list of the freakiest athletes in college football. Bruce, thank you so much for delivering this unto us this week, because I had so much fun. 101. This is the biggest Freaks List ever.
It is. Thank you, Andy. It is a labor of love. The operative word being love, and really not the labor part. But yeah, I did. I was like, probably a couple of weeks ago, I was like, you know, I should do 100, because I always end up with way more than 50. And I actually ended up with more than 100 this year, but I was like, all right, I can do 101. I shouldn't have this being like 116. It just seems like a weird number. So I went with that. And what has been different in the last 2 years, and I know I don't want to like produce your show here, but like one of the things in the last 2 years that I have appreciate more about this is I've been able to spotlight some non-FBS players who have some really cool stories. And I think, and I would imagine you'd probably feel similar, like some of these guys have great individual stories. And if we had written about them, it's not to say that we couldn't have delved into them maybe in a more compelling way than in the context of the Freaks List, where maybe I can write 3 or 4 paragraphs about them. But in the context of that, maybe only 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 people would see those stories. In the context of this, you know, I may get 20 times more people will hear about them or notice these guys. And so that's one thing I really love, is that now we have a bunch of really interesting other guys who are really not in the spotlight, who you can kind of spotlight through this thing.
Well, right. One of those guys is Josh Taylor from Wayne State, who you have a video of this guy doing a 360 tomahawk dunk. He's 5'11", 273, and has all these crazy lifting numbers. But you're right. More people are going to see Josh Taylor, be exposed to him, because he's in the same list as Evan Neal. And Evan Neal is a guy who, if you don't know who that is, well, that'll be the first offensive lineman off the board in the draft next year. He's Alabama's left tackle. And weight room Twitter, who, you know, you and I are very much part of that. We've seen Evan Neal the last couple of years doing the split squats, or not the split, the split jumps on the bags, where I think it's a 40-inch platform that he's jumping on and then doing basically a split on, or landing in a lunge. And this guy weighs, I want to get it, what does he weigh now? 360?
No, he was 360 last year, when some of these numbers that I got from Matt Ray, who's really the sports science guy at Alabama, had told me, you know, he hit 18.5 on the miles per hour in the GPS. He was 350 when he did it. He's down to 345 now.
Wow.
The crazy thing is, the numbers he puts up in terms of athleticism wise and agility would be like, if he was 100 pounds lighter, he would be a big tight end at 250. And and those are good numbers for a big tight end. He's doing it 100 pounds, you know, he's 100 pounds bigger than that. That's crazy to see that kind of athleticism, that kind of agility. I asked Nick Saban about him Sunday morning, the day before this thing was going up, just about, you've been around a lot of really freaky athletes and just unusually talented big people. And he was like, even he is, uses the term very rare to describe Evan Neal, not just in terms of the size, the flexibility, the explosiveness, but also just, and this is something I heard from guys who've coached Evan in the last couple of years about, there is like no BS to him. Like, he's working and I'm going to do everything I can to maximize all that God has given me. And I think that's, you know, that when the whole picture of him came clear, I was like, all right, here's going to be our number one guy. Usually I have defensive line guys feel like our, you know, 1 year I had Saquon, but usually it feels like I've had a lot of D line guys. Like, this is the offensive lineman. I'm like, okay, he's a good representative to be number one.
Well, and usually the defensive linemen are the most explosive, they have to be that way because they're typically they're playing against guys that are 40, 50 pounds heavier, and they have to have that explosiveness to counteract the sheer size of the offensive lineman they're playing against. But Evan Neal has that explosiveness, and he's a big offensive. He's not even a normal sized offensive lineman. He's a jumbo offensive lineman and has all this. And Matt Rhea worked with him in high school too. Matt Rhea was at IMG Academy before he went to Indiana, which is where he was before Alabama. And I met Matt Rhea when I was doing a feature on Daniel Fa'alele, who was Evan's high school teammate. And Daniel's also on your list. He's a tackle at Minnesota. Who Daniel was a 6'9", 400-pound high school player. He's from Australia. And at 400 pounds, he didn't look fat or sloppy or anything. He looked good. But now he's down to, what, 370?
Yeah, crazy. And, you know, he moves very, very well. He's very explosive, especially for that size. The crazy thing to me is, you know, as he's 370, that's not now that much bigger than what Evan Neal is. I mean, we're talking about giants right now. I remember my TV crew it was actually the opening game of the year for Minnesota, the year they had a really good season a couple of years back. And just being in the room with Daniel, I mean, you just don't see, like, college offensive linemen are huge men to begin with. But then it's like this guy makes them look small, most of like the average, you know, 310 pound guys.
But the thing about Daniel, because again, he's not sloppy or anything. In high school, his coach said, before I went down to Bradenton to talk to him, he said, now you need to be prepared because if you see him by himself the first time, just in, you know, from a distance, you're going to be like, this guy isn't so big. It's when you see him standing next to somebody else that you realize how big he is. And for me, I walked in and he was standing next to Teron Vincent, who's a D tackle at Ohio State now. Teron Vincent looked like he was in middle school compared to this guy. It was incredible. But you know, watching Daniel at Minnesota, he played, especially in the second half of that freshman season where they had such a good year. And he was one of those that if he got his hands on you, it was over. But you could tell it was a little bit harder for him if he had to go get a linebacker or if he had a guy who could rush very quickly from the edge that he had to deal with. But now it sounds like he's going to be able to handle those guys too.
Yeah. And then one of the coaches there told me his athleticism, his flexibility is much better now than what it was. Also the stamina part of it, I think will help him a lot more as well. So I think what we've seen really is because when you did that story, and it was at SI, right?
Yeah, and he had not played a game yet. He was doing spring practice, and that he had been there for part of the previous season, but he didn't know anything about the sport. They had to teach him the sport before he could even play a game.
Yeah, so I think what's really, you know, compelling about that is you had 1 year of that. Then he's playing pretty high-level football to jump in the middle of it in the Big Ten. And he still has not played that much. I mean, in terms of years, I mean, look, you were a high school offensive lineman. I mean, that's not like I'm just going to jump in and be a freak athlete and do something. And so I think the fact
jumping to the college offense right away, when you have very little grounding in the game at all, like he's got to be so much better now than he was as a freshman.
Yeah, it's a fascinating learning curve that he's going into. And I think that, you know, even when there's another guy on this list and whose story, I'll be honest, like one of the things that has been great about this thing is it's like I've gotten a lot of good buy-in, not just from like football coaches and strength coaches, but also now from people in the NFL scouting community. And one of the people who's really been very supportive of this is Jim Nagy, who's a longtime NFL scout.
Yep.
Yeah, at the Senior Bowl. And so I do a call with him and a couple of his scouting assistants every year. And one of the guys they told me about was an offensive lineman, also an international player, Bernhard Raymond. He is at Central Michigan from Vienna, and he came in as a tight end. He was 6'7" at Central Michigan and was a decent player. But this guy is now 304 pounds and he benches 450. But here are the numbers that are crazy. 304 pounds and he vertical jumps 33 inches. He has a 1.56 10-yard split. I mean, there are running backs who may not be that fast in college. And this is a 6'7", 304-pound guy. So, again, this is an, you know, this is an international player. This kind of shows the reach of the game. He was an exchange student, so it was a little, well, I mean, I was going to say, obviously, Daniel went to high school, the end of his high school career in the United States as well. But this guy came over. He had played football in Vienna for the Vienna Vikings and then went to high school 1 year, I think, in Detroit.
And so this sounds like Hiro Kanu out in California right now, who's the first international five-star, essentially.
Yeah, he's and I think tackle. What this kid's story is he is on the different stage of it, where he is now going to be a senior. He is definitely high on NFL radar. Paul Alexander, who a lot of NFL football fans know that name. He is one of those O-line gurus who spent a lifetime coaching the NFL. This is one of his proteges who he's working with privately on the side. And the NFL scouting community is definitely on this particular Central Michigan player.
We'll be right back after these words. You and I, Bruce, we still work out. You know, we see people in the gym who sometimes are impressive, and we've seen these guys throughout the years in football. And I always tell the story of when I was at Florida, Zach Piller, watching him work out. Zach Piller was the left tackle for the Gators.
Started
at the time,
his career at Georgia Tech, good player, transfers
yep.
there.
Yeah, transferred to Florida, wound up playing for the Tennessee Titans for a long time. Was one of the strongest human beings I've ever seen in my life. But the thing that blew me away, more than any other feat of strength I saw him do, was he would just take a 150-pound dumbbell in each hand and just start repping out with it, kind of warming up, but that was the heaviest that they had. And he would be carrying on a normal conversation with somebody. Like on an inclined bench, he'd be doing reps with 150 pounds in each hand and would just be talking to you like you were having coffee. And that's what these guys that are on your list, that's all of them. Like, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. I mean, and certain people have really freakish God-given ability. And look, I feel like almost every program has at least one guy who you can make a case for. And then there's like guys who are just the ones who make the other athletes go, wow. You know, to me, that's the crazy thing when you have certain guys like that who can just do really freaky, unusual stuff, either how they're built or how what they've been able to do, you know, develop their bodies to be able to do. And I don't know, I think that's part of why doing this thing for almost 20 years, why people are so fascinated by it.
So let's talk about Josh Taylor at Wayne State, because the video that you put in here of him doing the 360 tomahawk dunk, it's again, because he's by himself, you don't have perspective of how big he is or how short he is if we're talking about D linemen. So he is 5'11", 273. And he is so explosive, but he also squats 735, benches 395, vertical jumps 35.5, and broad jumps 10.2, and can do standing backflips. How?
Yeah. Well, here's one thing I love about this story. So, Andy, this is the thing I was kind of referencing, was his own story. So Grant Darnell, who used to be the strength coach there, was the one who reached out to me. I didn't know Grant Darnell at all, but he was the strength coach there. Now he has left there in Nebraska to go work for the military. And what he does now is he's a strength and conditioning coach for the U.S. Air Force Special Ops. So, he's a guy who had been at ULM and he'd been at Kent State. But one thing about this, so afterwards we were talking and I sent him kind of a note about what this was gonna say. Hey, this is the quote I was using that he had initially given me. The crazy thing about Josh is he has no clue what his potential is. He lifts in regular worn out tennis shoes, uses a $30 belt off the rack. There is no performance nutrition here or even any whey protein. I truly believe that he could be an elite lifter after his playing days are over, if I can convince him to try. So he was like, hey, looks great. Only thing is, I thought that he was at Wayne State in Detroit, which is he was like, no, it's Wayne State College located in Wayne, Nebraska. This is a town of like a few thousand. Wayne State University, as you pointed out, is the one in Detroit. I was like, oh,
right.
Okay. And then because this kid, Josh, his story was that he grew up, he grew up in Chicago, and then his mom didn't have a car, didn't want him to be taking public transportation. He moved to Wayne, Nebraska, or moved to Nebraska with his, to live with his older brother, and has really blossomed there. He was a guy who, when he was in high school, got up to 200 pounds and then tore his ACL. So when he visited Wayne State, he was on crutches. Then he put on about 80 pounds while he was rehabbing and trying to come off the injury, and his body just has really responded to the training. And so, you know, it's a really neat story. Again, this is not one of the guys that I had heard about from NFL scouts. It was somebody who, one of the strength coaches who really, you know, loved the kid's story and was like, hey, I think this kid deserves some recognition. I agree with him.
And the thing is that at 5'11", 272, he may never play in the NFL or sniff the NFL, but it sounds like his coach thinks he could be a power lifter who could be very successful.
Yeah, and that's funny. It was like a few years back, I'm trying to remember who this was, because back, I think back when I was at Fox Sports writing for them, somebody from USA Powerlifting had reached out to me saying, hey, can you give me more names and more connections to some of the people? Because they were looking to recruit guys who maybe didn't make it in professional football, but had some really rare gifts in terms of this side of it. And I don't know if that's what... you know, one thing that came up a little bit with talking to some of the NFL personnel people, and Jim included, was a few of these guys, maybe they're short defensive linemen and maybe their arms aren't long enough, but maybe they could get tryouts as fullbacks or H-backs or who knows what. So, you know, it's interesting to see where there's a bunch of guys like this who maybe do not have long enough arms, but are really, really explosive and freaky athletes, that somebody will try them in some other way to see if maybe they'll at least get camp invites.
Well, let's talk about another guy who just moves giant weight. And that's Xavion Furcron from Southern Illinois. He's an offensive guard. And you've got video of him squatting 800 and benching 500 in the Freaks List story. And I'm showing this to my son. I'm showing him the guy squatting 800 pounds. The lasting image for me is he racks the weight after he squats it. And by the way, Weight Room Twitter, he gets parallel and gets back up with 800. But the bar is about to snap. It is just bent completely. It's curved. And I'm just like, I would not even attempt to look at a weight bar that was curved and then much less try to lift it.
I know your joints are just looking at that going, man, that looks painful. Even there's times where I'll look at something, and this was the case where he's pulling 500 off the rack. And I'm sure, you know, it's been a long time since I've ever lifted where I'm like, this is going to be a heavy weight or whatever, where you're like thinking, I was like, I'm going to take this off and it's just going to come rocketing down to my chest.
It would be like the cartoon where you just fall through the floor, where it hits you so hard, it knocks you through the floor.
I know, just to have that kind of ability to control the weight getting off. And yeah, there's spotters. I'm sorry. I don't know what weight there would be. Yeah. Where it's like, no, that's not going to work. But huge man, 6'2", you know, 330 pounds or so. And another one, loved, you know, the story. So Nick Hill is his coach. I had reached out to him. He's the head coach. And this is a really good program, Southern Illinois. I mean, they were really good last year in FCS football. They've been good for a while. And so what his story is interesting to me is, you know, I use the line, you know, incredibly strong, but it's way beyond just the weight room and the football field. It's a guy who grew up, the dad wasn't in the picture. And then the last 2 years, both his mom and his 18-year-old sister have passed away. Still, through dealing with all that adversity, had a 4.0 GPA in SIU's master's program. And whoa. Nicole was like, he's the best leader we've ever had. I just can't say enough about this guy. And so I don't know what his pro football future will look like. You know, again, will he probably get a shot in somebody's camp? Yeah, I would think he would. I don't know beyond that, but it sounds like he's going to be really successful no matter what he does after SIU.
Well, that's amazing. And yeah, and anybody who can who can squat 800 pounds is going to be successful at something. I don't care what, but that, I mean, to be able to go through that and keep your grades up and still be able to play football and manage all that stuff, it just, that is truly amazing. That's probably my favorite part about the Freaks List. I like reading about the guys that we're going to see in the draft, but that's my favorite part is when we get to find out about those guys that, you know, maybe we don't get to see on TV, but they have great stories and they do things that, like, their teammates will tell their grandkids about the things they did.
Yeah. And there's so many, it's like hard to, it's like, where do you rank some of these guys? Because individually they're just, you know, some of them are especially remarkable. And then there's other guys who are like, man, this is a crazy story. I wish I knew more about, I'm glad I learned about this guy or whatever, reached out to some coach and they kind of said, hey, I got a guy you really should include on this. And you're just like, okay, where do they fit? And some of them, like you said, I mean, there's a safety at Akron who I've heard about a lot from their coaches. I'm sorry, a safety at Toledo. I've heard a lot about over the last year, Tyson Anderson. He could play he would start at almost every Big Ten school. You know, he's long, he's super athletic. He's, you know, over 6'2", 208. Verticals, 38 inches. He runs in the 4.5, 4.4s, and he's got crazy long arms. You know, so this guy is going to be a, you know, maybe a top 100 pick. I don't know if he'll be maybe a top 50 pick, but then there's other ones, you know, I'm like also in the MAC where it's like, okay, this guy's story, Bubba Arslanian, 5'10, 217, walk on, or came in as a walk on.
Machine.
Yeah, last, you know, he's only played 18 games because, you know, they didn't play a full season last year, 199 tackles. And then his position coach was like, man, this guy you got to write about. Almost, not only does he almost squat 600 pounds, does 585, but it's like he does it for five reps. So it's not just like maxing out. Benches, what? 455. He's 217 pounds, benches 455. It's like he's run a 4.6. His numbers are crazy good. I mean, he was just a really good athlete coming out of high school, but I don't know, 5'10", 5'9". A lot of people aren't scooping that up as a linebacker for a FBS program. But I'll tell you what, Akron's lucky to have him because he makes most of their plays.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors. And sometimes the strength coaches just reach out to you. Like at Louisville, they got a freshman in there this year, Ashton Gallott. 405-pound power clean. They sent you a video of this, and the strength coach says, "Hey, Bruce Felvin, Freaks List." And this is a he makes 405 a 405 pound a 405 pound power clean look really easy. It shouldn't look this easy.
Yeah, the other thing to me, Andy, that's kind of unique that like catches my eye after hearing this is a young player, right? So he's doing this now. Like usually, power clean, squat, those are numbers where he must have come from a really good high school program and had some really good coaching.
He had a good strength coach or someone working with him in high school. You can tell because of his technique. He pulls high, drops under like the Olympic coaches. When I was in high school, we were pretty lucky because the security guy at our school was actually a USA weightlifting development coach. So he would bring in all the high school kids from around Orlando who were in the program and they'd be doing their Olympic lifts, but it helped because he taught us how to clean properly. And
how much were you when you watched cleaning this guy, in high school?
Not very much. I mean, I probably could get close to 300, but
which is a lot for a high school kid.
Yeah. I couldn't do what this guy does, but this guy, it's the perfect pull high. He drops under, squats it right back up. Like a lot of times you see the big offensive lineman or they're just so powerful that they can get it up there. And they do the weird thing with their legs where they kind of look like a sumo wrestler at the end of the clean. This guy did it like an Olympic weightlifter does. And so that tells you he's had some training. It also tells you he can probably do a lot more.
Yeah, and that's what I think that they're going to get from him before too long when you have that kind of explosiveness too. Just one other thing on Louisville, because it was like very rarely do I like go, wait a minute,
was that a typo you guys sent me or whatever? And so I had one of those though with Louisville, where I was like, I don't know if I believe that or not. And Tyler Harrell, he is a, he's a Miami kid. And so when they sent me, it was like, ran a 4.19 40. And I was like, what? And he's 193 pounds. So it's not like he's 150.
Not Tutu Atwell sized. He's no, 50 pounds heavier than Tutu Atwell.
Pretty much. And so Scott Satterfield, who, by the way, Scott Satterfield has been around some really fast dudes. And so I texted him and he was like, I had him at 4.19. He was 4.24 on our laser. I hand timed him at 4.19 in the 40. And so, you know, it just, he's like the fastest guy I've ever timed. This again, Scott Satterfield
Got done coaching Tutu Atwell.
Tutu Atwell, which is like, could be 4.22. You know, he's like, he was a 4.3 flat kind of guy. He had T.Y. Hilton, who he coached at FIU, who ran in the low 4.3s at the combine, and Jalen Virgil, who's like been a fixture on this list, who's a legit 10.2 track guy. He coached him at App State. So the fact that this is the fastest guy, that's saying something. I always go back to this because I know a lot of people are very skeptical about 40 times. And what I remembered years ago when I was working on Meat Market in the Ole Miss, staff room, they would have all the nameplates on their depth chart. And it would list height, weight, class, but it also lists 40 time. And I remembered they had Mike Wallace, who ended on to play for the Steelers and had a really good NFL career. They had Mike Wallace was maybe 4.28 or whatever it was. And I was like, Mike Wallace is that fast. And the crazy thing was there was nobody else in the 4.3s. And I think the next fastest time and got a Jamarcus Sanford, I was going to blank on his name, was 4.45. So it wasn't like, oh, this is a school, and we know there's a handful of schools that have like 11 guys who run 4.35 or faster. Like,
Urban Meyer at Florida had the 40 time chart where you knew it was the good buddy hand timing. You know, I'm gonna press this button a little early, kind of hand time chart.
Yeah, but I just remembered on that end, I'm like, man, if this guy is basically 0.2 of a second faster than the next fastest guy, he can fly. And then all of a sudden people realize, oh shit, Mike Wallace is super fast. You know, at the time, nobody knew, like, he wasn't, you know, they wasn't like they had really good receivers. They had Dexter and Mike Wallace. Well, you know, they couldn't get him the ball, but he was super fast. And there are, so long way of saying, if Scott Satterfield said this is the fastest guy he's ever tested, this guy can fly.
Sticking in the ACC, it seems like NC State has become a very good source of freaks list material for you. Ike Ekwonu is a guy you wrote about in depth earlier this year, but it seems like they just, especially on the line of scrimmage, just seem to pump these guys out.
Yeah, I think hat tip to Dave Doran, but especially to Coach Thunder, D'Antonio Burnett, who was a really good linebacker there almost 20 years ago. He's the guy where I know a handful of guys who coached at NC State who are no longer there have gone on to places, and they're like, man, that guy would be a guy who if you ever got to be a head coach, you want to try and hire that guy, because he has just had a really good feel for developing elite athletes. And you saw it with certainly Bradley Chubb, and there was a bunch of, you know, I think the first story I did for The Athletic was on that D-line group that they had. Mm-hmm. Bradley Chubb was the feature guy, but you know, really almost all those guys did not come in with big recruiting buzz. And again, Ike Ekwonu was not a big recruit for them. Now, he had run some track in high school a little bit, but they have three offensive linemen who I could have had on this list. I have two. I could have had a third. And you're right. I think NC State has done a very good job of developing big people. It's not to say they haven't done a good job. Like, you know, they have some really good skill guys now too, but especially on the O-line, Garrett Bradbury, who turned out to be a first round picks, at center. Another guy who's
two mentions of Garrett Bradbury in this year's freaks list. I was counting.
I know you caught that. I know. I was like, man, he's a guy people want to compare guys to. So, hey, look, Dwayne Ledford, who's now coaching in the NFL, and he was a guy who went on to Louisville. Scott Satterfield brought him with him, but he was a guy who had come through NC State as well as a really well-regarded line coach. I think they've had some really good coaches, and they have a really good strength coach, and so they have a good eye for that. And I think they have a good feel for developing players. And I think that's, you know, probably the best thing that they've had to hang their hat on a lot, because some of these guys were not coming in top 100 recruits, but they, when they leave there, that's what they look like.
And before I let you go, Bruce, we got to talk about my favorite name on the list, or nickname, name, however you want to do it. It's not on his birth certificate, but I'm sure it's what everyone calls him. Talen Big Sauce Humphrey from the Raging Cajuns, the D tackle.
Yeah, it's fitting that the Raging Cajuns, who, you know, with the chili pepper
absolutely
graphic. So this is a JC guy who had also been to FIU. He's pretty big, Andy. He's 6'5", 335. I'm guessing Big Sauce can do some big damage in at the dinner table. He squats 600 easy, 405 bencher, really long arms, over 34-inch arms. And this is a school also. They have some guys in there, like John Stevens, who transferred from TCU, who's a big receiver. Take the top off of defense is a guy I also consider. But come on, you have to – you know, I think once upon a time I might have had pork chop Womack from Mississippi State.
Pork chop Womack, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so Big Sauce, man, you can't go wrong with
now,
Big Sauce.
If Big Sauce had had to play against pork chop, would it have been a smothered pork chop at the end?
It would have to be, right? I mean,
oh yeah. On.
I think
I like Big Sauce. I like that Bruce gets my soul food references.
Yeah, I mean, look, Andy, I think you should have Big Sauce on the podcast.
I think I should too. I think this is a good, well, so, and Louisiana is an interesting team to me because Ari and I talked about this on the last episode and actually talked about this earlier this summer too. If Texas beats the Raging Cajuns by even a point, I'll be impressed. Mm-hmm. I think they may go in there and beat Texas because this is a well-coached team that brings back 20 starters and they have Big Sauce, and Texas does not.
Yeah,
Big Texas, Sauce. They don't like sauce in Texas.
Big Sauce is a native Texan. Look, the only guy I think they really have to replace who is a really good running back, Elijah Mitchell. Everything else is back there. They're really good on defense. Obviously, we know last year they kicked off the season by beating a very good Iowa State team on the road. And if you're Sark, I don't think the people who hired him – like, yeah, it's Louisiana. No, I don't think they get that this is like a top 20 kind of team that they're going to have to be
dealing
with.
Yeah, this is one of those that they'll freak out if Texas loses to them, but I don't think you should. Like, it's not a freak out moment. I expect Louisiana to win that game. If Texas wins, I will be pleasantly surprised and think more of what Sark can do in his first year.
This is probably a better team they're playing than the team that – remember Joe Tess? It was a fun game to watch. It was Notre Dame on I think it was a Sunday night or a Monday night.
I was there.
Neither was there. Team turned out to be all that good. This Louisiana Texas team is probably
is
better
back.
Than that team. Yeah, I know. I know. So, but it's good. We love the enthusiasm. I mean, I'm excited for that game. I'd be lying if I said that we had a Fox offsite in Arizona last week and people were talking about that game. You know, it wasn't the game they were talking about the most, but, and part of it is because Brando was talking about it a lot, but it's a good week one matchup. And so
Brando, the pride of Monroe, can he say nice things about Louisiana Lafayette? Can he even do that?
Andy, watch your mouth. He's not the pride of Monroe. He's the pride of
Shreveport.
Yeah. It's nearby though. It is nearby.
It's all Arklatex.
Yeah, I remember I went to Monroe back when I think Todd Berry was the coach. I should know this, and they had Colton Browning, and it may have been the most humid, like hottest go for a football practice. And I felt like it's like, man, I respect these kids because it is not easy climate to be in for that in August.
Fun fact: Louisiana Monroe, the Alabama of college water skiing.
Is that right?
It is. If you go there, there's a lake and you see this jump and you're like, why is that there? It's because they apparently have an unbelievable water skiing team where they bring in people from Europe and like, congratulations, you've been selected to be on the best college water skiing team in America. You now live in Monroe, Louisiana. You can go have some crawfish on the bayou here.
And also you can see probably the funniest man in coaching is on their staff right now. The offensive coordinator, Rich Rodriguez.
That's right. Wow. I had forgotten that he is there now.
Yes. Look, they will probably be good on offense if he's running the show. So,
well, maybe they'll have some freaks next year, but right now it's the Raging Cajuns and Big Sauce. And if you have not read the freaks list yet, get yourself to The Athletic, get yourself a subscription, read all of Bruce's stories, because they're all amazing, but especially the freaks list, because you will be smiling and you will be so excited for college football season, because it is almost here. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Andy. It was fun.